and welcome to Books on the Go, a podcast where we talk about our book of the week. I'm Anna Bailey-Karras and I'm here with Annie Waters. Hi, Annie.
Hello.
And this week we've been reading Real Bad Things by Kelly J. Ford. But first, book news, and just a quick one this week. The Readings Prize for New Australian Fiction has been announced, and this is for the best new contribution to Australian literature. I still can't work out if it's a debut author or
I think
not, because
so.
They just say new. But emerging authors they're trying to champion, and it has been won by Cold Enough for Snow by Jessica Au.
Yay.
So that was a nice
gorgeous read.
I didn't love it,
oh,
but it was a good, a very well done book, and Amanda really enjoyed it. So we did it on the podcast. It was a very worthy winner.
Yeah, I must not have listened to that episode yet. I'll have to get around to it. See what you think.
I think I've uploaded that one.
Yeah, I think
now
so.
Now I'm having a panic attack.
No, I'm pretty far behind.
So that was well done, Jessica Au. And now on to our book of the week, because we're doing just a quick minisode this week. This is Real Bad Things by Kelly J. Ford. And we got onto this because S.A. Cosby, who we love, who wrote Razorblade Tears and Blacktop Wasteland, raved about this on Twitter, and I haven't got it to hand, but he did the best description. I think he said something like, "I can smell the fried chicken," or something like that. It was just so southern, so gritty, and unashamedly queer, and just fantastic. So he loved it. So I bought it because before the book ban, this is the sort of thing I would do. Hence the problem.
Yeah.
So I'm so easily influenced. Anyway, so Kelly J. Ford is an American author, and she's best known for her novel Cotton Mouths, which was on a Los Angeles Times list, 52 books in 52 weeks, and was, I think, a bestseller. And this is her next novel, so Real Bad Things. So it's set near the Arkansas River, and it's about Jane, who finds that, well, her stepfather disappeared years ago before the story starts, Warren, who wasn't a nice man apparently, and she confessed to the death when he disappeared, but they couldn't arrest her because they couldn't find the body. So she's living out of town. She's tried to move on, but then a body is pulled up from the river and she realises that she's going to have to face the music. So she goes towards the town where they live rather than try to run away, which is an interesting choice. Then she has to really try to make peace with her mother, who's very dysfunctional. She sort of knows that she'll have to fess up to the police, but also tries to put it off and tries and almost hopes that she can avoid it, but it's clear that she can't avoid it. So the police are pursuing her. They're following up with her, shall we say. And she also reconnects with an ex-girlfriend or an ex-friend who I think is now married, and so she's got a different life. So then, of course, they're planning the funeral, but all these other things are coming up out of the woodwork, and it goes on from there. And there is the mystery of A, why did she confess, and B, did she kill Warren, and what's happened? What's actually happened here? So it's very gritty. It's southern noir, or there's so many descriptions for this genre, but there's southern noir, rural noir, or grit lit, which I love. So it's in this range of gritty noir crime fiction. What did you think, Annie?
Oh, yeah, I didn't get on with this at all, unfortunately. I think part of it was to do with the way it's told. So it jumps back and forward between Jane's perspective, who's confessed to the murder, and Georgia Lee, who was her ex-girlfriend at high school and who obviously has been implicated in the crime in some way. I will give a warning for spoilers, but I really don't think that some of these are spoilers. I think you know from the outset that Jane didn't do it and is covering up for someone, and you suspect it's either for Georgia Lee, her ex-girlfriend, or her brother, Jason, her half-brother, Jason.
Yes.
And so she can't really get hold of either of those characters and wants to kind of follow up with them. She seems to want to talk to everyone that has done badly by her and really neglected her in her time of need after she confessed as a teenager to.
I found that unusual too, that she's so actively pursuing these people.
And her mother, who is
just awful
to her.
If she was covering up, then one of them must have done it.
Yeah.
And so why is she trying to?
Yeah. Well, I think everyone agrees that Warren was not a good person. Mm. It was probably an act of self-defense.
No one's missing Warren except
her mother. No, except the mother. And no one cares about her. So, yeah, I don't that didn't feel real to me. I think it felt like four teenagers kind of got involved in this thing that was over and above their head. They probably should have just gone to the police and said, he tried to attack me and he got hit in the head and I'm sorry, but he's died. Great. There you go.
Yeah.
Everyone's lives can move on from there. So you jump back and forward between their perspectives. They'll have a lot of anxiety and a lot of guilt and a lot of shame wrapped up in this, added to the fact that Jane and Georgia Lee were dating in a town that is clearly very, very small town, conservative, homophobic. Jane, now that she's back, has this nickname Leslie Borden because they knew that she was hooking up with another woman but didn't know who it was. So, yeah, none of that worked for me. And also, so there's just no narrative tension. It's like it's gone on holiday completely because you know what happened.
Well,
basically from the outset it felt like.
Yes and no, because I didn't know what happened, but I thought there was a bit of tension around did Jane actually – it was never clear what she thought happened.
Mm.
It was almost like she didn't quite know what had happened and she felt guilty and she felt certainly implicated, and so someone's done something to her almost. So there was a bit of tension there, but I agree with you, it wasn't – because of the setup.
It just felt a bit flat. And then I think,
you know,
because
I think when someone's confessed to murder, that does deflate some of the tension.
Exactly.
Even
exactly.
if you think they're innocent.
And so then because you jump back and forth between these two women's perspectives and both of them are pretty
messy.
Messy, but just also dull. I felt after finishing it, I felt like it had all the worst elements of a true story that is told and is actually quite boring in the minute detail of how it could actually play out, but then also some of the elements were just so fantastical that it didn't feel real at all. So, you know, the pull of a true story is like, well, this really happened, even if you get bogged down in the drudgery of kind of, oh, well, who said what to who, you're kind of like, well, this happened, and so therefore you've got to give it some kind of credence, but this didn't happen, and it's being told like because you have all these elements that are then like, well, that wouldn't have happened or that couldn't have happened in that way.
I don't know. Yeah. Not certainly not the whole murder premise, but the way they live,
that feels very real.
It feels so real. So it is a mix, isn't it? But I also didn't love it, and I'd gone in with such expectations because of S.A. Cosby, but I also can see why he rates her highly.
Yeah.
And the reason is that sense of place. I thought I didn't want to be there. That was why I didn't enjoy the book. But it did feel real to me, how they lived. It was gritty.
Mm.
It was unvarnished. It was tough living. You know, just poor, being poor in America in a small town, how that is. It just felt like that's how people are living.
Yeah.
And even the very dysfunctional mother, I felt that there would be a lot of, well, not to that extent that we find out at the end of how dysfunctional she is. But
I think
I felt that it was very real.
Her hatred just felt so unfounded
on
anything.
Yeah. I think, again, there are really dysfunctional families out there.
Oh, absolutely.
There's just such a weird dynamic.
Mm. But I almost wanted to be zoomed out a little bit further, so not get any of the kind of interiority of those characters, because I felt like you got told a bit more than you got shown what was actually going on.
Yes.
So it didn't feel like a story that you were watching. It felt like someone was telling you this story.
Yeah.
And therefore I felt like, well, I know what all your thoughts are and I know what all her thoughts are, and how is that going to meet up in the end? So that just felt like it dragged a little bit.
And the action was weird to the
really weirdly weighted.
You can have action. It's a bit of a strange one, because what is she driving towards? She's driving towards trying to sort of not get arrested, but knowing that she'll have to be arrested.
Mm.
So it's a weird push and pull dynamic. Mm. So hence why there probably doesn't feel as much action on the page, because she's almost trying to hide away from it.
But and you could have contrasted that with kind of what the police investigation was up to, or, you know, like an exterior perspective outside of that small little caravan park world.
I love this, Annie. We're redoing the book.
Yeah.
I love
I think it needed a good edit.
So
I think there was a really interesting idea, but it happened in the last 50 pages and you had to put in a lot of work to get to that. I mean, I skipped the middle third and it didn't lose anything for me. I still understood exactly what happened at the end.
I know
so
what
that's
you mean.
Not.
So I could see the real characters. I could see that they were really flawed, really fully developed. It did feel authentic to me from that point of view, as in the place and the characters. And it is a slow burn, so it's not a pacey thriller that you might – so not to expect that. But I just didn't like Jane. I didn't like her mother. They were both a hot mess. And Georgia Lee, I was ambivalent. So I just didn't really enjoy hanging out there. I didn't want to be
No, there. I wrote down, I wished I could spend time with anyone else.
Oh, dear.
I wanted to go into the police station and see where they were up to. That Detective Benjamin seemed like an interesting character. I wanted to see what he was up to. Mm. And then Georgia Lee goes out on a night out with her friends and I was like, oh, I want to stay with the friends. They seem fun. They're having cocktails. They go to the gym. They have lives rather than where they don't just freak out about what everyone thinks about them.
Oh, they were a bit superficial.
Oh, yeah, they were.
But I mean, also they were Jason, fun. The brother, was not
really.
It was very unclear what was his agenda.
Yeah.
I thought I thought all the characters, as much as I didn't want to be anywhere near them, were really, really strong characters. Mm. But Jason was strange.
His motivation didn't.
So I thought it was a strong book, but not the book for me.
Yeah.
So I'm not. I can't
recommend it.
No.
Sorry.
We really want to read the next S.A. Cosby.
Mm-hmm.
That's what.
And they are republishing his first novel, which I can't remember what it's called, but it's the one that's like a jazz mystery.
Oh, fantastic.
It's being republished soon.
Brilliant.
In Australia.
I love that. So that was Real Bad Things by Kelly J. Ford. And coming up next week, I can't remember what we're doing. We'll post on Instagram what we'll be doing and Facebook. But you can follow us on Facebook at Books on the Go and email us at booksonthegopodcast@gmail.com. And I'm on Instagram, Twitter and Litzy at @abaileycaris. And Annie?
I'm on Instagram and Twitter at @Mr_Annie.
Fabulous. We'll see you next week. Bye.